good to be here with you all today. Why don't we pray and then read our Bibles together? God, we come to you and we thank you because you're good and kind and loving. Thank you, God, for these moments that we could come together and remember Jesus and the cross. And once again, thank you for making that fresh in our minds and in our hearts. And now, God, as we read your word, I pray that you would truly speak to us as we read through your word, that it would be living and powerful, that you would use it as a sword of your spirit to cut deep inside of us and to make us know and to love you more. I ask that you do that among us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so let's jump back to where we were 2 weeks ago. Not last week, because last week we jumped to the end of the story. But up until last week, we had been going kind of methodically through some of the big stories of the Old Testament. The interesting ones, the ones I find interesting. I mean, I get to choose, so I think they're interesting. Anyway, we're going to jump back to where we were, and we're going to look at a story about changes, a story about transformation, a story that, it's about hope, because it's about the hope that comes when you start over. And it's a good moment for this story. I was kind of hoping this one would be like around the new year, and I was going to do it anyway, even if it was out of order. And it turns out it's right in order. So this is the new year, and we're going to talk about changes. So it's kind of a timely thing. Look at 2 Kings chapter. I'll go to 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 3. We're going to look at the story of Manasseh, who was a king who started over. And let's start the story though. Before he comes on the scene, let's look at the story as his dad was king. His dad was King Hezekiah, so that was a good story if you remember that one. In 2 Kings 18, verse 3, this is talking about Manasseh's father, so this is Hezekiah. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord according to all that David, his father, had done. Remember how that's just an incredible statement. Every time I read it, I say, he wasn't just, you know, David was a man after God's own heart. And other kings came along and they did some good stuff, some of them, and most of them did really bad stuff. But this king did, he was like David. That was a really big thing to say about a king. He left a good legacy. The country was on a good path as he departed the scene. His son only had to come along and, you know, look at his dad and see what his dad had done and just kind of follow in the path of his father. But he didn't. He was bad. He was a horrible, horrible, horrible king. Look at 2 Chronicles. It's about that much farther from where you were in Kings. 2 Chronicles chapter 33. Look at how bad this guy was. He was very, very bad. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. A long, long reign, right? He did what was evil in the sight of the Lord according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord drove out before the people of Israel. So he didn't just like go back to some of the wicked kings before him. He went all the way back to the nations. He was as bad as or worse than the nations that God had driven out before the Israelites, the people who lost the land because of the rebellion against God. For he rebuilt the high places, verse 3, that his father Hezekiah had torn down. So instead of following in his father's legacy, he does the opposite. I mean, there's rebellion there. Who knows? There definitely is rebellion against God. He rebuilt the high places that his father Hezekiah had broken down. He erected altars to the Baals, and he made Asherahs and worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. Host of heaven. He worshiped the stars and the sun and the moon, and he built altars in the house of the Lord. You say, well, why would he do that? Because in the temple, didn't Solomon build, you know, the different altars that were needed, especially the main altar? There were altars there. Why would he build altars? Because he wasn't worshiping God. He wasn't going to use God's house to worship God, of which the Lord had said, in Jerusalem shall be my name forever. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. He filled God's temple with idol worship, with altars to idols. And he built, I'm just going to read verse 5 again. Go to verse 6. And he burned his sons as an offering in the valley of the son of Hinnom, and used fortune telling and omens and sorcery, and dealt with mediums and with necromancers. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger. and the carved image of the idol that he made, he said, in the house of God, of which God said to David and to Solomon, his son, in this house in Jerusalem, I've chosen out all the tribes of Israel. I will put my name forever, and I will no more remove the foot of Israel from the land that I appointed for your fathers, if only they will be careful to do all that I have commanded them, all the laws, the statutes, and the rules given through Moses. Manasseh, so he didn't just do bad stuff. He took everybody with him. He took his family, took the whole country with him. Manasseh led Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem astray to do more evil than the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the people of Israel, worse than the ones who were driven out before them. He's a bad, bad king. Then the Lord spoke to Manasseh and to his people, but they paid no attention. Imagine that. You know, when you talk to your kid and they ignore you, you know what you feel inside? Just me? My kid's the only one that sometimes ignore me? Okay. That feeling, you imagine God speaking to his king, to his people, and them ignoring him? Wow. Then the Lord brought upon them the commanders of the army of the king of Assyria, who captured Manasseh with hooks and bound him with chains of bronze and brought him to Babylon. He was bad. He was bad. But there are a lot of bad kings we could look at. Maybe not as bad. Arguably, he might be one of the worst. Ahab maybe beat him. I don't know if it was a competition. We could look at other bad kings. But that's not the point of his story. His story is that he started over. He started over when he was well into his wickedness. He completely started over. Look at verse 12 where we're at. 2 Chronicles 33, verse 12. And when he was in distress, and you know, sometimes it's easy to discard other people seeking God when they have problems. Oh, they're just, you know, they're having problems. So that's why doesn't matter why. Doesn't matter the reason. Doesn't matter what brings us to that moment. When he was in distress, he entreated the favor of the Lord his God. He sought God. Humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. He prayed to him, and God was moved by his entreaty and heard his plea. Now listen, he had been taken captive to Babylon. God brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. So God gave him his kingdom back. He brought him from a foreign land, let him come home from captivity, and gave him his kingdom back. This is an incredible story. It's incredible that he would change like that, that he would seek God. Look for another king that does this. I'm pretty sure there isn't one. Maybe there is. It's a very, very unique story. He returns to God. Almost no one, if no one else before him has done this. He was so deeply sold out to idolatry, to rebelling against God. Now he's a slave in Babylon. He's a captive in another country, and he turns to God. And look at it. It most of the time, no matter how bad things get, people in this book and in our lives don't turn to God, but he did. He did. He turned to God. It was incredible. And if you read that and you say, yeah, it was incredible that God would let him change, because he didn't deserve to change. He didn't deserve to start over. He had already wasted it. He led the whole country down a bad path. He had messed things up. He had ruined his family. He didn't deserve. But he experienced God's grace, God's unmerited favor. He turned to God, and God gave him the strength and to change, and he accepted him when he did, and he forgave him, and he returned him to his kingdom. It was incredible. Look at how the story finishes. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. Afterward, he built an outer wall for the city of David west of Gihon in the valley and into the entrance into the fish gate, and carried it around Ophel and raised it to a very great height. He also put commanders of the army in all the fortified cities in Judah. It's like he had a new beginning. It was like his kingdom was starting over. And then look at what he does, because he starts over. He seeks God. He repents. He turns to God. And he doesn't just get back what he wanted from God and then that was it. He was genuinely seeking God. Why? Because he finds a different path. He goes down a completely different path than he had been going down before. he turns to God and he turns away from his sin. That's repentance. That's what repentance is when we turn to God for the first time when we repent and are baptized. It's what repentance is every time we turn away from sin and turn back to God. He turns away from his sin and he turns back to God and he undoes the sin and the sinful paths that he had put the country on before that. He took away, in verse 15, he took away the foreign gods and the idols from the house of the Lord and all the altars that he had built on the mountain of the house of the Lord and in Jerusalem. He threw them outside of the city. It's incredible because other times when there's been a really bad king who has built up altars in God's house or done horrible things, other kings, the good king will come along eventually, seek God and tear down some of that stuff. But never the same king. The one who built it up is now tearing it down because he started over. He sought God. He repented. And he took away, in verse 6, he also restored the altar of the Lord and offered on it sacrifices of peace offerings and of thanksgiving. And he commanded Judah to serve the Lord, the God of Israel. So he was trying to take the people that he took away from God, take them back towards God. He had truly repented. Nevertheless, the people still sacrificed at the high places, but only to the Lord their God. So they kind of came back. Sacrificed to God, but in the wrong place. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh and his prayer to God and the words of the seers who spoke to him in the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. I would love to... What was that? Who were the prophets who came to him? Behold, they are in the chronicles of the kings of Israel. And his prayer and how God was moved by his entreaty. Not incredible. He moved God twice. He moved God to anger and wrath by his wickedness. And then God was moved by him seeking God. And he let him start over. And all his sins and his faithlessness and the sites on which he built high places and set up the Asherim and the images before he humbled himself. Behold, they are written in the chronicles of the seers. So Manasseh slept with his fathers and they buried him in his house. And Amon, his son, reigned in his place. Incredible story. He started over. And the big idea for us out of this story, I think, at least the one that I get, and not just because it's the new year, this is an all the time big idea, but it's really appropriate right now. With God, you can always start over. With God, you can always start over. And that's the whole idea of starting over. We have time. I'll tell you a story. This is from, I got permission from my wife to tell this one, so there you go. Anytime I do, you know, anything where I mention more than myself, I got to get permission from the appropriate person. So we were just married, like, I don't know, a few years in. Didn't have kids yet. I think one was on the way, but we didn't know it. So it was very early on, several years into marriage, but we had built up enough backstory in our marriage to where every time we had a disagreement or a discussion, there was history that would go with that and history that we would bring into it. You know how that is when you have a discussion with your spouse or somebody and you, it's not just about that. Cause as soon as you start, then this other thing gets brought back. And then if you're going to bring that thing into, then I'll bring this thing in and I'll bring this thing in. And then all of a sudden you're talking about a lot of other stuff. And it's just like heated discussion about a bunch of stuff that, and most of it was stuff that had been resolved, right? We'd already got past it. I forgive you and I love you and we're past that. But now we're talking about this. So that gets brought into it again. And we were just drowning and we were on a family vacation with the rest of my family. And it was really hard for us to, be drowning without being observed because we were with the whole family. And so my mom took us aside and sat us down and let us talk, made us talk. And then she gave us this piece of advice to this day is something that in our marriage, it's a phrase we use. She said, just start over. Just like imagine a whole, you know, like a whole thing, you know, written on a board, you know, with the things people used to write on before they wrote on the way it was supposed to write on stuff on the boards on the wall with the chalkboard, whiteboard. And then just imagine erasing it and then it's gone. So, what you guys have to do is just say, we're going to start over now, which means everything resolved from the past can't get brought into it anymore. And then you're done. You just start over. And it sounds so simplistic. I tell you what, probably that has saved our marriage because to this day, there was the time this week that we looked at each other and said, Can we start over? Start over? Okay. Okay. And then we started over. And we left all the stuff in the past and we started over. It was just, it's a magical thing. No, not magic. I don't believe it. You know what I'm saying? It's an incredible thing to be able to start over, to just say, okay, the past is the past and we're starting over with something new. And that's what we get to do with God. As powerful as that is in marriage or in family, being able to start over with God, that's an incredible thing. And we can always start over. That's what I get from the story of Manasseh. Because if he was able to start over, he was at the end. He had disobeyed God. He had been horrible. If he was able to start over, how much more you and I? We can always start over from scratch or in a certain area of our life. Maybe there's a sin that we need to leave behind or a habit we need to start we need to just leave behind our complete old life or maybe we need to start discipling somebody or start a new ministry or change something in our character or just become a whole new person. Whatever the starting over is, with God, we can always start over. Starting over is returning to God. It's what Manasseh did. It's repenting. It's turning from our sin and turning back to the Savior. So what do you have in your life right now that you say, I need to start over with that? This is something that God would have me leave behind or change or whether it's a new year, or a new month, or just a new day tomorrow, it doesn't really matter. Well, what is something that God would have you change right now in your life? And then we say, okay, so if I know what I need to would change, how do I start over? We start over the same way Manasseh did. It's an incredible example. What did he do? He confessed. He recognized his actual state, where he was before God, and he sought God. He spoke to him, and then he gave himself to God. He devoted himself to God. He gave his will to God. And then he changed. He left behind his rebellion and he obeyed God. That's how we start over with God. We confess and we seek him. We reach out. We talk to him and we give ourselves to him. And once more, we repent and we give our will to him. And then we make whatever change he's asking us to make. That's how you start over with God. And when we start over, what we saw in the story with Manasseh is when you start over, there's hope. There's hope. If there's hope for him, he's in Babylon. You don't come back from Babylon, right? He was in Babylon. He's in captivity. And he comes back and he's able to start over. If he's able to start over, how much more you and I? And as hopeful as that message is, there's a big problem because it's really hard for us to start over. It's really hard for us to change, and we know that. That's why I don't know about you. I don't do New Year's resolutions. I don't, probably because in the past I've done them, and then they've lasted for about as long as yours probably have lasted. And then it's like, I'm not going to do that. That's just because it's hard for us to change. And it's even harder for us to change when it's related to us and God, because there's an enemy actively trying to make us not change. It's hard to leave behind a bad habit or truly change something in our character that's sinful. It's hard to leave a sinful relationship. It's hard to start a new habit like praying or reading your Bible every day. It's hard. It's hard to start something in ministry, to start discipling another person. It's hard to truly, truly change. And so we say, I'm going to change. Sometimes we try to change on the outside, but we don't really change inside. And then the old habits come back, and then we have to hide them from the people who knew we were changing, and we lie about who we really are and what we've done. But it's hard. It's hard for us to change. You know why it's hard for us to change? Three reasons. We don't want to. I don't want to. How many things in your life have you known you should change, but really, really, no matter how much you told your spouse or your parents or your children or your friends, I want to change this. You really didn't. You didn't, because you liked whatever it was that was the thing you were supposed to be changing. You liked, whether it was your free time, whatever. We don't want to. And then when we actually say, I'm going to, we find out we can't. It's really, really hard for us to. And even when we get past the first two, there's the last one, which is, I don't deserve to change. It's condemnation. I don't deserve to be different. I don't, I'm a bad person because I've done bad things, and bad people don't get to start over. They have to pay for the bad stuff that they did. I don't want to change. I can't change. I don't deserve to change. And this is where Jesus shows up in this story. This is where Jesus appears in the middle of this story, because it is because of Jesus and through Jesus that we can start over with God. Always. We can always start over with God because of Jesus. See, in the story of Manasseh, what did we see? We saw grace and we saw mercy. He received unmerited favor. He received forgiveness. He received the power of God in his life to actually let him change and to work out the changes so that we end his story and go, wow, he followed through on that change. I would love to follow through on changes in my life. How is he able to do that? Because God's power was working through him. And all of that, that forgiveness and that mercy and the power of God working through him, the grace, that's fulfilled and it's perfected in Jesus, which is why we can change. We can always change. We can always start over because of Jesus and because of the cross. That's the message of the gospel, that through Jesus and through the cross, we can be forgiven. We don't have to carry our condemnation and our guilt because he took it upon himself on the cross. It's because of God's grace that in Christ he can accept us in spite of how bad we've been in the past, because he sees us as being perfect because we're covered by his son if we're in Christ. It's by the regeneration, becoming new people, that when we repent and are baptized, when we give ourselves to him, we become new people. And because of that, we can start over. And that in itself is the greatest starting over. And it's by the Holy Spirit that Jesus gives his followers that we can follow through and have the power that even Manasseh had to follow through on his new start. That we can follow through and do the things that we know God wants us to do as he fills us with power through his Spirit. And the Spirit of Christ lets us live the way that we should, so that we flip over to Philippians chapter 3. Because of Jesus, when we think of what God would have us change and then how hard it is for us to truly change, but then we look to Christ, we look to the cross, we can say with Paul, the Apostle Paul, look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Not that I've already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. It's because of Christ. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, and this is what Manasseh did. This is what my mom taught my wife and I to do in our marriage. This is what God invites you and I to do. Even today, one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Starting over. That's starting over. So what do we do? What should we do today? Not just today. It's a good moment to do this because it's a New Year's coming up. And I don't know about you, even though I don't make New Year's resolutions, every time a new year rolls around, I think about the new and I think about the old and my mind goes there. So if your mind goes there, go there with me today. It's a good day to do that. But maybe you don't go there for the new year. Well, this is a good thing to do all the time. What do we do? We should start over. We should ask ourselves, what does God want me to change? That's the question. It's a question where you, and maybe right now, I said those words and something came into your mind. The Holy Spirit just, he made you, he's like, you, it's not something new, it's something you've known. It's like, yeah, that is what God wants me to change. Maybe for you, you say, I don't know. And then you say, well, I know I'm not perfect, obviously. So there is something. I wonder what it is. Sometimes to find an answer to that question, we have to spend some time praying and thinking and asking God, say, what is it you want me to change? What is it in my character, my life? Is there a sin what's a sin that I'm carrying around? Or what's the thing that you want me to do in your kingdom that I'm not doing? Who's the person that you put in my life that I should be investing in with the gospel and studying the Bible with and I'm not? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to change? What's the change that you want me to make? Whether that comes to you in an instant, or you have to spend a couple of days praying about it and thinking about it and asking God, that is a question he will always answer. So what is it for you? And listen, that question, if you're not a Christian, if you've never decided to give yourself to Jesus to repent and be baptized, there's one answer to that question. What is God wanting you to change? It's not a whole bunch of little things in your life. It's the big thing. It's an invitation for you to truly start over, to give yourself to Jesus, to decide to follow him by repenting and being baptized. And when you do that, when you make that decision, listen, you become a new person. Just like Manasseh, you get to completely start over. You become forgiven. You're free from condemnation. You become God's dearly beloved child. When you're ready to make that decision, tell someone. At any moment here with us, you can repent. You can be baptized. You can start over. If you're a Christian, ask yourself that question. When I said the words, "If nothing came to your mind," I know that's, I'm the same way. I have to think about it and pray about it. Do that. Spend some time. If you have some time off work or while you're at work, just be praying and thinking, God, what do you want me to change? What is there in my life that you would like to be different now? And then what do you want me to do with that? And what's the plan? And then the question for us becomes, when we know what God wants us to change, what am I going to do? How am I going to implement that change? How will I obey like Manasseh did? And actually do what God wants me to do so I can live out that starting over that I'm able to do because of Jesus, because of his cross. Why don't we stand? We'll pray together and then we'll sing. Dear God, we come to you and we thank you because you are so good and gracious. And you invite us, God, to come. And as we come to you and you save us when we repent and are baptized, you let us truly start over. But that's not the only time. You continually invite us to repent, to turn to you, to turn from something and turn once again to our Savior, to leave sin, to leave selfishness, to leave self-absorbedness, to leave our idols behind and return to you, even after we're your children. So God, I pray that this moment, that today would be just another step on that path of continual repentance for each one of us, that your Spirit would weigh in on us and that you would help us to ask that question, what do you want to change in my life? And then God, we pray that through your grace and your mercy that you would answer that question and you would tell us, you would show us, you'd give us conviction, and you would help us do whatever it is you're asking, that we might live in repentance, we could start over with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.